This is 20 Minutes for Tech, Episode 21, Technology Gifts for the Holiday Season. Welcome to another edition, the Black Friday edition of 20 Minutes for Tech. Today we're going to talk about tech toys and gifts for the holidays. Talking with us today on the line, we have Dr. Mara Leineberger. She's the curriculum specialist at the IU1 in Western Pennsylvania. Good morning, Dr. Leineberger. How you doing, Mara?
Good, Dave. How are you? I'm not at IUN today. I'm at home. How about you?
Me too. I'm sitting downstairs in my pajamas, basically. And I'm nice and comfortable. And in addition to Mara joining us, we also have Mr. Lee Spears, who's a technology integration mentor, a PA Keystone, and a math and physics teacher at Norristown. How you doing today, Lee?
I'm great, Dave. It's good to be back again. Haven't talked to you for a while.
Yeah, it's been a while for both of you guys, actually. I'm just amazed that I've been able to kind of keep this thing going for almost a year now, and it was all due to your help along the way, both of you. So I certainly appreciate that. So what do we want to talk about here today? Has anyone, like Lee was saying, before we started recording here, anyone actually go out for Black Friday shopping before we did this morning?
Nope.
I didn't, but I was very tempted. I was at my brother's for Thanksgiving yesterday, and he was just saying, "Oh, come on, some places open at midnight." And I was like, "Go right ahead, I'll catch up with you."
Yeah.
Out here, I was watching the news this morning. Out here in our region, we have a new outlet, these Tanger outlets, and they opened at midnight, and every single parking lot space was full. And they said that the traffic was a mile back on the interstate for people trying to get off and go to this outlet mall.
Mm-hmm. And so we have a new one of those near us too, and that was where my brother wanted to go, and I'm like, ugh.
They did it the last couple of years here at the – we've had the Tanger outlets here in Lancaster. And, yeah, for the past couple of years, some people actually go with two cars, park one early, and then, like, get people to drop them off so they can get a good parking space and go shopping, and then they have their car right there. It's insane.
Wow, that's crazy. See, now, wait, we're tech folks. So, I mean, I got to say, you know, I don't go spend a lot of time in the store. I do searching online. I listen to the tech stories on the local news, or I read PC Magazine for my ideas. And then truthfully, at this point, I have a lot of the tech toys and gizmos. So I was thinking more about what do I have that I can recommend for people who don't have them yet.
Yeah, my Black Friday consists of sitting in my pajamas in front of my screen with a black cup of coffee.
Yeah,
so that's about it.
Well, so how about talking about some of the stuff we think people should get?
Okie dokie.
They don't have it.
Does anyone want to start off? Or?
Well, hey, you know, I had somebody send me an ad. Now, I was looking, and I actually couldn't find this, but I think it was from buy.com that you can now get digital projectors for under $500. In fact, somebody sent me a link to one that was $150. And I was thinking about how much change that would make in a teacher's classroom. I mean, frankly, if it's under $500, a teacher could afford to go buy a digital projector for their classroom.
Yeah, well, you mean the teacher themselves?
Or, you know, sometimes teachers have site-based budget monies that,
oh, that's true,
you know,
yeah.
in that price range. I mean, for a long, long time, digital projectors were something that districts couldn't afford and teachers certainly couldn't afford because they were a couple thousand dollars. But the price has come down so significantly that, you know, you could get your principal to afford to buy one for you. And I think that's probably the one thing that every teacher should have in their classroom.
Yeah, that's true. That's a wonderful place to start, just to get things up on the board and be able to share what's on the machine, especially if you're relegated to having a classroom with only one teacher machine and no student machines.
Yeah, I think in Pennsylvania we're pretty lucky. I would be very surprised to hear that there are teachers. I mean, I still think there are a few teachers, and it's mostly like your special subject teachers, like your phys ed people or your arts people who might not have a computer in their classroom. But I think that for the most part, school districts, you know, expect teachers to be communicating via email and whatnot, keeping grades on a piece of software. And so most teachers have access to a computer, their own teaching computer in their classroom. So putting a projector off of that would be a fantastic Christmas gift, don't you think?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that would be very nice. Now, how about for home or just for personal use? Anyone got something cool
for
that?
Well, I know one that I've been wanting to get and wish I would have had with me a couple of weeks ago. Actually, I know Myra's been big on this, is the flip digital video camera
or
some type of digital video camera.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That was on my list here, too.
Yeah, I found myself actually a couple of weeks ago down in Orlando and had a chance to go watch the Endeavor shuttle launch at night.
Oh, yeah, that would have been cool.
Oh, yeah. Had my little my regular picture camera, which takes video but no sound, just kicking myself for not having gotten one yet.
Well, you know, I got to tell you guys, so like people listening to the podcast might not know what they are, but they're basically just very inexpensive digital video cameras about the size of a regular digital camera, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they let you take like the Flip lets you take 1 hour of digital quality video, and it has a USB stick on it that you just plug right into your computer, and you can drag the video files right onto your computer for editing. And actually, the Flip comes with software that lets you upload right to YouTube.
Right. So it's very good software too, actually. Very simple to use, and you can do some decent editing with it.
Yeah, well, they actually haven't come in yet, but I was purchasing some, my IU, we got a grant, and we're purchasing some digital video cameras for the teachers that we're working with. And I had heard about a competitor to Flip called the Vado, V-A-D-O. And so I checked into it, and the Vado actually is $30 or $40 less than the Flip. Lets you do 1 or 2 hours of digital video, depending on the quality of your recording. And I think the batteries in it are chargeable. So I just decided, you know, executively made a decision to go ahead and try that out. Because I actually watched a YouTube video where some guy did a side-by-side comparison where he recorded himself with both the Flip and the Vado and showed that the quality was about the same. So if the price was a lot less, then the Vado was a good choice. So people, I guess the point is people have to shop.
Yeah. Shop around.
Yeah. Yeah, but if a digital video camera is a really great tool for your classroom, not just for yourself personally.
And the Flips are so nice because they're so easy to use. You know, it's literally like one button recording. So it's not like you have to, you know, have to zoom in and zoom out and do all these other things. It's like you pull it out of your pocket since it's so small, hit a button, and you're going, which is nice.
I mean, I know an art teacher who has like 10 of them in his classroom, and the students are allowed to check them out and borrow them for projects that they're working on.
Yeah, but it's just so much easier too with the digital cameras, that you don't have to worry about a tape, you don't have to worry about, you know, getting it uploaded into your computer into a different format. They just make it so simple to do the editing and to do the transfer that it makes sense, especially even for younger kids, to be able to use those for a classroom setting.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. So if you want to know something else, I was watching the news this morning, and believe it or not, that HP has one of their laptop lines that's going to be priced at $350
I saw something like that too. Yeah, a laptop.
Yeah, almost like those little Asus PCs. It's nice to see the prices coming down on these things.
Well, that's actually what I'm using now, is my small HP, which is just about the same size as that EEC computer. So they're great for traveling, and they're great for use. You know, couldn't use it full time, but for getting around and the price, you can't beat it.
Hey, so what about stocking stuffers? What about smaller kinds of things? I've been intrigued recently, and this isn't any kind of new technology, really, but I've been poking around and looking at personalized USB drives. Have you guys seen just some of the styles and stuff? I mean, before it was like, you know, we talked about in Friedman's book about you know, how toilet brushes are getting, you know, really unique, and now you can buy one in like 12 different colors and with funky handles and look space age. Well, USB drives are getting that way too. I was just poking around and I'm seeing like little animal pen drives, thumb drives with laser pointers in them.
I have one on my list too.
Yeah, yeah.
Matter of fact, it's actually a wristwatch that comes in a 2 gig or 4 gig style. So you're already wearing a watch, and it has a built-in USB memory stick in it too. So you can just plug your watch into your computer.
Mm-hmm. See, that I think is nice and handy. You know,
well, do you think?
I don't even think about it.
I think folks know about, like, SanDisk. I think is the one that has a partitionable memory. It has like partition on the memory where you can actually put software. So like, say you know you're traveling out of town and you're not taking your computer, you could put Skype or you could put your email client on one side of it, and then you stick that flash drive in and you can actually boot up the software from one side of the of the memory. I don't think a lot of people know about that, and that's really useful if you travel a lot. Then you don't even have to take your laptop. If you know you're going to have access to a computer, you can have the software pieces that you need on one side of your memory stick and then your files on the other side.
Yeah, it is really handy. That way you're not locked down to a specific machine. So,
I have to say, I'm actually not a fan of memory sticks at this point because I've almost entirely transitioned to using Google Docs for any important documents that I need. So my stuff's sitting out on the web. I don't take anything with me.
Really?
Really, truly. I mean, my machine at work, I mean, I have a backup file. I have a big, you know, external hard drive, which is something else I recommend, because I think a lot of people, especially teachers, are sometimes forget that they should be backing off their files, even if there's some kind of a remote backup set up within the district or the organization. I always keep like a 350 gigabyte external hard drive, and once a week I drag my folder over.
That's a really good point too, because a lot
of
times
they're coming down in price too.
Yeah, I mean, you can get a couple hundred gigabyte USB drive that'll fit in your pocket for sometimes under $100. So talk about a nice stocking stuffer for a teacher or for even your students.
Yeah, I would actually do that before I'd get the thumb drive, because I think about it. Teachers create so many documents on a regular basis. And you know, I know a few folks who I talked to some teachers that I worked with who this past summer, the school district replaced all the equipment and didn't send out an announcement. And they had files that they hadn't backed up and lost them, because when they came back in, they had a brand new computer sitting on their desk. And that does happen.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Especially if you're – even sometimes if you save to the server at your school, it's very easy to forget about that. And backing up with a little drive, or even some of the thumb drives now, I've seen them as large as 32 gigs, which blows my mind. I like them because they fit in my front pocket, and they're cheap. And if I lose it, well, it's not that big a deal, but unless there's some, you know, really important stuff on there. But I use it as kind of a backup when, especially when I'm making like a little presentation or something like that. And as soon as I'm done with it, I'll throw it on a little thumb drive or whatever, just as a possible backup in case my machine goes down and I have to switch quickly to something else. I could just plug the little thing in and I'm ready to go.
See, that's why you need to be using Google Presentations, because then you've got it. It's up there regardless.
Well, the only thing with that is what happens when you go to one of those schools that has intermittent web access that are they're using wireless towers.
Well, that's a good point. That's a good point.
Yeah, I'm going to say
know your audience.
Moved a lot of my stuff over to Google Docs too, and I've been using that with a lot of teachers in my district, and it's definitely got some advantages, but every now and then you run into some difficulties with that. So it's always good to have a backup plan.
Oh, yeah. I love Google Docs. Don't get me wrong. It's just...
So listen, I think we should talk about a couple more things, because we're blowing through.
Yeah, we're running out of time here.
Yeah. Sounds good. What do you got?
Hey, so I saw, have you guys seen this? I don't have one yet, but I was thinking this would be great. Is the Google phone or the Skype phone? I saw today that the Google phone actually has a function in it that serves, lets you take a picture of barcodes. And with the phone, you can send the barcode out and do price comparisons. So if you're out there shopping today, you can take your Google phone, take a picture of a barcode, find out if what you're looking at is the best price available.
Yeah,
wow.
That is really
how cool is that?
I think they might be developing an app for the iPhone for that too. But yeah, the first time I heard of that was on the Google phone, and that is just that's just so cool.
That's a killer application.
Oh yeah, my gosh.
Well, I was thinking that I mean, some other sort of obvious gifts. GPSs have come down in price, like around $100. I can't live without mine.
I can't live without mine either. Yeah, I saw. I can't remember if it was a TomTom or one of the others for like I think it was $79.
Yeah,
either the Garmin or the TomTom or the big names. Yeah.
Yeah, one of the name brands. They're now getting under that $100 price point. So. I'm tempted. I actually have somewhat of a sense of direction, but what I really need it for is those times when you get caught in traffic and you're in a different city or something like that, and you just want to find your way. I'm crazy when it comes to Google Maps. I love the darn things, but yeah, I'm dying. I really need to get a GPS. I think it would just improve my driving.
Yeah, I was just gonna say it just works out. You know, you're trying to find some place, or you're out somewhere in a where you might not know, and all of a sudden you want to grab something to eat. It's real simple to find your way around or get a recommendation. That's where I use mine a lot too. Oh,
yeah. The real benefit to me has been the find an alternative route, because my route to work is on the interstate, and occasionally there'll be a big accident, and then you know wherever I am, I can hop off of the interstate and ask it to re-navigate me back to home. And I'll tell you what, it saved me more than a couple of times. I thought of one other thing that if people don't have it, that they should have it. If their computer doesn't have a camera built in, they should be going out and getting a webcam. And they should be using Skype, just like we are today, to talk to other people, to do video calling. In fact, last night we were at my dad's house, and we video called to my sister's house in Virginia, so all the kids could see each other. We can't get the kids on the phones to talk. You put a kid on the phone and they just do not want to talk to their grandparents. But I'll tell you what, you get my nephews and nieces on the video phone, they'll talk for hours with their grandfather. So I'd say like that actually would be one of my number one recommendations, is a webcam and Skype on your computer for Christmas, so that you can call all of your family all over the world for free and see them.
And you're talking about like $15, $10 for a lot of these things. Now I did find something that was really cool. Now it's unfortunately about 10 to 20 times that, you know, price, but it's called the Rovio. It's a mobile webcam that links to the web, and you can have it rove, basically like a little rover, run around your house, check out your dog and see what's going on at your house when remotely from the web.
So like when you're at work, you mean?
Yeah. It's called the Rovio mobile webcam. And looks here, I'm looking in Hammacher Schlemmer, and it's about $300. But if you want something really cool, this thing looks really cool. It looks like one of those little Mars lander things.
Yeah.
And you can like rove around. Think about having that at the school. You could send one of those around with your kids.
Just send it out and check in on classrooms and see what's going on, right?
Check in on your principal, you know. That'd be cool. So.
Okay, I had one that I came across that I don't have either, but I just thought was so cool. It's called MySky Plus, and what it does is you take it outside at night and you point it at a star or a constellation, and using GPS built in and angle of declination and everything, and it has a database of over 3,000 stellar objects. It figures out what you're looking at and gives you it tells you information about it and everything else, and then you can also plug in something you want to find, and it will direct you where to look in the sky to find it.
That is really cool. That's really cool.
It's about $200. It's by Mead Corporation, and I was like, wow, I could use one of those. A little pricey, but pretty cool.
Well, when you start thinking about the flip and that, and you know, $100-$150 for a GPS, then that's not too bad actually, and it's educational.
I guess my only other I only have like one more should buy on my list, which is I was telling Dave before we started this call that I recently just bought a second monitor for my computer. Now, I know that sounds like overkill, but it's actually really great. I found a 17-inch flat panel on sale at one of my local business stores for like $150. Actually, I think it was less than $150 with the rebate. But I just got, I had a dongle for my Mac and I hung it off of that dongle, and I now have two monitors, and so it sort of mirrors my desktop and it lets me do something like today. I have my browser open so I could look up, you know, different things that I wanted to talk about, pieces of equipment that people would want to buy. But then I have Skype running on the other window, so I don't have to keep flipping back and forth, you know, from different layers. I can actually have multiple windows open and see them all at the same time.
It's amazing. It's amazing how much more you can get done, and how easier it is when you have a little more screen real estate.
It's exactly what it is.
Yeah.
It lets you do something like have your Skype window open and see who's online without having to flip back and forth with, you know, your layers of applications. And I know a lot of people who are starting to get into doing things like Second Life and things like that will actually leave it open and running on one panel while they're doing their work on the left-hand side. So, and there's lots of reasons why. I wasn't sure I wanted it. I've known people who do like drafting and design who use it all the time. And I thought, you know, oh, I'll never need that. But I have to say, having two panels now, I totally understand the reason why.
Yeah, it definitely makes you more efficient. Now, there's only one other thing I wanted to mention here near the end. Now, granted, it's nothing you can buy right now, but I look forward to this in the future. I happened to come across this, I think it was on CNN, and this guy actually made his own jetpack. He literally, honest to God, it says, I'm reading the thing here now, it says, Daredevil flies across Royal Gorge with jetpack.
I saw that too and wanted one.
He flew across a 1,000-foot deep Royal Gorge in southern Colorado in 21 seconds with a jetpack that looks like what you would consider like a jetpack. Like
Flash Gordon.
Exactly. Oh my gosh. Can you imagine? I need this because road rage and all that, you know.
Hey, it would make my commute time to work a lot shorter.
Talk about as the crow flies, man. That would
absolutely
be awesome. So, Google the jetpack across Royal Gorge, or you can go to K-12 Geek because I have it up there. But
hey, you know, if we're hoping for jetpacks, I'm going to just take it one step further and say we need to have the Star Trek transporter systems up online.
That would be very cool.
That would make it very easy to get around.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, then, we wouldn't need Skype anymore. We could just transport into each other's place and have face-to-faces.
I did see one other thing that interested me. I haven't seen it anywhere. I saw it online the other day. It's wireless technology going now to be able to power devices. And there's actually a company producing a wireless Christmas tree that uses Wi-Fi to send the power to the lights. So there's no wires at all on the tree. You just hang the lights on the tree, and it's a Wi-Fi signal that then lights up the tree.
Wow. So you could put your tree anywhere, places where you wouldn't have been able to do it before, right?
Right. Well, you have to plug the base of it in, but there's no wires running around the tree or anything. It's just little lights everywhere. And this technology is getting to the point where they think in the next couple of years, all those wires in back of your computer that run your power your monitor and all that stuff will be gone, and it will all be done wirelessly through a Wi-Fi signal.
Yeah, they actually have pads now that you can, or at least I think they're in production, where you can lay your devices, like your cell phone, your iPod, and you can lay your device on this pad, and it'll actually charge it without even having to hook the darn thing up. So I have a feeling it's in the same vein as that. So.
Mm-hmm.
Well, with that, we're almost going on 30 minutes here, so I may have to do a little editing. Unless
you need to put a little holiday music at the beginning and the end there, Dave. little jingle bell sound.
Yeah. I'll have to find something that's pod safe, right?
Yeah.
Well, thanks, guys, for coming today and talking with us about this. And as always, we seem to run over. So, but that's okay. It was a lot of fun, and we have to do this again because it's been too long since you guys have been on the podcast here.
It's my pleasure, Dave. I always enjoy talking with you and Mara.
Yeah, me too, guys. It was a lot of fun.
Well, okay. Thanks again to both Mara and Lee for joining me here today for the Black Friday edition. For gifts for tech for the holiday season. And I'm taking Mara's request for that PodSafe Christmas song, little Christmas music or holiday music. This next little ditty that you heard in the beginning, just a little brief bunch of it, up up front of this podcast is by Jonathan Colton. And I encourage you to go to jonathancolton.com to hear it, as well as I'm going to tack it on, the whole version of it, on the end of the podcast today. So it'll probably reach to about almost 30 minutes, but that's okay. It's a bonus. That's your holiday gift to you from me, from 20 Minutes for Tech, your instructional technology podcast. Likewise, if you're interested in giving a gift back to me at the 20 for Tech podcast, go to the 20fortech.com website and use the Amazon search box. If you're purchasing items off of Amazon, that helps offset the cost of the web hosting for the 20 for Tech podcast, which I do out of the goodness of my heart and just for having fun. Nobody pays me for this. I just do it for fun, and I pay for it myself. So that would be a wonderful thing if you're interested in giving back to the podcast. So without further ado, here is a take on the Alvin and the Chipmunks song by Mr. Jonathan Colton. Have a happy holidays if we don't record another podcast before then. And be safe driving out there, and have a wonderful holiday season. Thanks for listening.
Okay, guys, everyone ready to sing the song?
Yeah, we're going crazy.
Great. Now, remember, it's almost Christmas, and nobody has any pod-safe Christmas music, so that's your motivation here. CC Chapman, you ready?
Ready as I'll ever be.
And Len and Nora from Jawbone, good to go?
Let's do this!
And Adam Curry, Skyping in from the helicopter flying somewhere above your golden palace. You all patched in there, Adam? Adam? Adam! Pretty good, guys, except, Adam, you sounded a little bit like you were rushing it there at the end. You know what I mean? Buddy?
Whatever, dude.
All right, well, I can't say I care for the attitude, but, you know, just pay attention next time. Now, the rest of you, I just wanted to go over... Adam, did you say something to me?
No.
Huh. That's funny, I thought I heard you say something.
No, I didn't!
Look, I don't want to go through this with you again. We're here to sing a song about pod-safe Christmas music, and I just want everyone to do their best, you know? I mean, can you just give me a little effort?
Shut up, Cece.
Adam, just give me a little effort, okay? Adam? Adam? Adam!
Jesus, what?
Job, you guys. Really, you nailed it.
Nailed it. Yeah, not too shabby. Nailed it.
I don't want to speak too soon, but we may have saved Christmas. And special thanks to you, Adam, for paying attention.
Yeah, screw you.
Yeah, I'll see you tomorrow at rehearsal.